And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. And I mean, this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi. Thrown in just for good measure. Let me jump in there and sort of lay the foundation for something that our friend Becky Gerritsen just said a moment ago. By the way, Eagle Forum does great work. They've been around, like she said, for a long time, 40 years in Alabama as a local chapter, 50 years overall, 51, I believe. But that being said, she just mentioned something that's happening. So the gambling interests in this state, I don't care how you feel about casinos, if you want to go to Vegas or down, you know, to Biloxi, whatever the case may be. I'm not a fan, personally. I would just soon see no casinos set up in Alabama. Me, personally, I just feel that way. But what's interesting is the constant stream of attempts to expand casino operations in Alabama are almost always done by the same people who have been breaking our laws and being raided by our attorney general and refusing to pay taxes. I mean, right now, Green Track down in Greene County, I want to say they owe something like $24 million in back taxes to the state of Alabama. Those are the people, by the way, that are trying to influence legislation. During the bingo scandals in 2010, we found out that Milton McGregor had been paying the staff of the Legislative Reference Service who writes the bills to make sure that certain words got incorporated to help him out if he had to go to court on something. I mean, it's ridiculous. And so anyway, these are the same bad actors who have been at play constantly trying to get themselves a leg up in the law. And I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like a lot. Like the last piece of gambling legislation that they had, I went down and testified against it because it was so bad. It was literally going to take the four or five key gambling operators, the big names, and going to write their names, their actual names, into our state constitution as being the only individuals who would have been allowed constitutionally to have a casino. That's like finding out that Publix and Winn-Dixie got their names written into the state constitution that they can be the only ones who own a grocery store in Alabama. That's how bad it was. I mean, it flies in the face of everything Republicans say they stand for. And yet there they were debating the bill. I mean, that thing should have been shut down the way it was. It should have been absolutely shut down. It's one thing to say, we would like to see an expansion of casino gaming. It's another to go say, we don't want to pay our taxes. We want a monopoly. And we want our names even written in the Constitution. How do you like us now? That's what it was. All right. So what Becky just said a minute ago was a reminder that in the last session, State Senator Bobby Singleton, Democrat from Greene County, he tried to slip something through in what we call local bills. Because there's a thing in Alabama, unlike most states, we have local legislation. And that's where basically your local delegation, like, you know, depending on where you live, your local state representatives and senators who serve that area, if they know you need something, and I don't know what it would be, something to do with expansion of a certain type of industry or trying to, I don't know, Sunday alcohol sales, whatever the case may be, they run a local bill for you in Montgomery because our state constitution does not allow much home control or local controls. So local legislation is not supposed to be for constitutional gambling issues. And yet, lo and behold, Bobby Singleton slipped one through. And it went through a little too easily. You got to watch local legislation because here's the bottom line. It starts flying so fast because there'll be 150 local bills that people will start, you know, just leaving their name on the roll. And they'll be allowed to procedurally do what's called using the previous roll call to certify the next bill, which is deemed as non-controversial. So people are like, whatever, man, just do it. Shouldn't do that. In fact, I tried to make sure that anytime I left the room, I took my name off the roll so it couldn't be used with me out of the room, because you can even find out you voted on a bill and you were not even in the room. It's a crazy procedural issue, but there it is. In the course of doing these procedures, we have a thing called the BIR, the Budget Isolation Resolution. So when you bring a bill up, the constitutional mandate is that you have to pass the budgets. That's the only thing that the legislature is constitutionally mandated to do. But knowing that they haven't passed the budget yet, they have to also then they have to basically vote on the ability to leave the standard order of business budgets and do something else. Well, there's always other something else. There's always something else. Doesn't matter what it is, economic development, funding for mental health, you know, honoring a group somewhere with a road name. Doesn't matter what it is, there's going to be something else that has to get done. And so you have to get up there, and procedurally speaking, you have to move for passage of the BIR after introducing the bill. And it's, so it's like every bill, until the budget passes, every bill has two votes. You can kill a bill on the BIR. You cannot give it your vote on the BIR. I had it happen to me once by a Republican. But we've also, by the way, kept a lot of bad legislation from getting to the floor, because you have to have, I'm going from memory now, but I think you have to have a two-thirds majority, 21, to pass in the Senate. I'm not sure what it is in the House. But if you don't pass that BIR, you don't even get to go to the main issue, which is your bill. You can actually get up there and say, you know, Mr. President, I move for passage of the BIR using previous roll up. We have an objection. Now we have to do a roll call. Now somebody wants to filibuster and speak to the BIR for a while. You can slow a bill down. It can also, by the way, give you time to get your act together because somebody brought a bill you didn't see coming. So I feel like I'm going in the weeds here, but the bottom line is this. If they are saying right now that they want to remove the BIR from the passage of local bills, is the BIR frustrating sometimes? Sure. Does the BIR also slow things down and keep it deliberative and make you have to work for your legislation? Yes, it does. It does. And if they're going to remove that, then we run the risk that another Bobby Singleton bill can fly through without anybody even having a procedural opportunity to slow that sucker down. Anyway, all said and done, I'm glad that API and Eagle Forum and a number of other groups were apparently down there keeping an eye on things. Wow. And it's so funny, man, that first of all, in a general session, in a regular session, when you've got 200 bills in the hopper and you're trying to keep track of what's going on, it can get daunting. You have to really stay on your toes. But when you're in a special session like they are right now, at most you're going to have two or three bills. You can do two or three bills. I mean, I know their focus right now is on trying to get the redistricting done, but you can handle two or three bills. And what she's saying right now is the senators were not even aware of what was happening. Well, come on, fellas. Wake the frick up. I mean, this is not rocket science. And if that bill was just allowed to walk on through like it did in the House, then we might have seen Bobby Singleton dropping another home cooking type, you know, local bill and daggum. Anyway, there's 8 years in the state Senate talking to you right there. And it's amazing. But you can win on procedure. You can win or lose on procedure. You can have the best bill in the Senate, and you can't get it passed because you don't know the rules. You can have the worst bill in the Senate, and you can get it passed because you do know the rules. It's crazy. All right, I tell you what, Boomer, I think I'm going to take the break about a minute or two early. We'll do that right now. That'll give me a chance to come back and put a lid on this thing that I'm working on, sharing the battle space. Tomorrow, by the way, we're scheduled to wind up having a guy named Eric Johnston, who runs the Alabama Pro-Life Coalition here in the state. He's a great guy, a great legal mind, and I'm proud to have him come on the show tomorrow. And looks like we're also going to have Boomer and McQueen tomorrow. Excited about that. All right. Boomer just nods his head like, yeah, going to get it on. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, making common sense a superpower. So, all right, I've been doing this section, and I'm going to wrap this up here in this segment. And then, by the way, top of the hour, don't forget Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. But I've been doing this section called Sharing the Battle Space. All right, if it's a battle space, that one would assume there's an enemy. There's somebody else out there who is opposing you. There's somebody in the fray that you are trying to coordinate with your side on in order to occupy a true battle space. Well, in this case, yes, that is true. I've been giving you insights over the last few days about organizations that are doing things for conservative causes right here in the state of Alabama. And by the way, there's nationals also, too. You've got national organizations that don't necessarily have a true local chapter, but they're doing work, like the NRA, for instance, for Second Amendment. You've got Alliance Defending Freedom, which steps in and does the occasional lawsuit, or the Pacific Legal Foundation. There's conservative groups that don't necessarily keep an office here on state politics side, but they still come in and do good work. That being said, there are also theirs out there who are doing just the opposite. Everything that we exist for as conservatives is being done just as, equally strong sometimes by those who are on the liberal side of things. Not the least of which is, don't forget, the Southern Poverty Law Center is actually actually located right here in Montgomery. Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC, is notorious for raising big, big, big dollars, and also, by the way, being relied upon by, like, the Biden Department of Justice and FBI for its labeling of hate groups. A minute ago, you heard Becky Gerritsen from Eagle Forum surprised when I read her the list that number two on the list of hate groups in Alabama, according to the SPLC, is the Eagle Forum, called an anti-government movement. Did she sound anti-government to you? You've also, on the way, got number five on the list, Moms for Liberty, Madison County, Alabama chapter, another anti-government movement. That's a group of moms that are going after, school choice and getting CRT and wokeness out of our schools and that kind of thing, Moms for Liberty. It's just amazing to me. That's right here. That's right here in Alabama. But here's one you may not know about. So there's an organization called ProPublica. ProPublica portrays itself as a 501c3 interested in helping with investigative journalism and funding of investigative journalism around the nation. They are notoriously liberal. ProPublica, oh, by the way, is out there doing what it does, oftentimes funded by some of the most amazingly liberal, big money, sometimes dark money donors. One of those is, of course, George Soros. George Soros, through his Open Society Foundation, has given away hundreds of millions of dollars a year, like close to $500 million, to different organizations and causes and liberal candidates just in the last 3 years. But in the course of all that, here's one you might want to know. AL.com. AL.com is a news source here in the state of Alabama, obviously. I go to it. I do. But you have to watch it, because if you're going to find liberal bias in the media in Alabama, it's going to be number one on AL.com. If you're going to find a anti-Trump, pro-abortion, let's get some more gambling, everything's racist, why didn't you get your vaccine, those stories are going to be on AL.com. You might be interested to know that ProPublica, with grants from people like George Soros, then also helps fund reporters at AL.com. Really? How do you know this, Phil? Well, because they brag about it. Here's a story from 2018. Abby Crane, writing for AL.com. AL.com has a little section they do called Reckon, like bringing a reckoning is part of it, but it's also a spin on words, like I reckon this happened. Well, AL.com's Reckon section had a reporter named Connor Sheets. I know Connor Sheets. Reckon.com reporter Connor Sheets was named in 2018 as ProPublica's local reporting network. The office, basically, they gave him a grant to do his work. So what happened here was ProPublica basically funded his salary for a year. As part of the network, ProPublica's senior editors Charles Ornstein and Marilyn W. Thompson will collaborate with Sheets and other local reporters around the country on projects ranging from racial segregation and correctional facilities to emergency responses and environmental regulations. So what happens here is George Soros, who hates America decides he wants to use his billions of dollars to fund an organization called the Open Society. And then the Open Society then gives grants and campaign donations to all of those liberal, I mean, all of these liberal DAs and others you're seeing that won't, you know, won't reinforce crime or pursue, you know, the prosecution of crime, that George Soros is out there funding those campaigns. He's also, by the way, funding organizations that then advocate for things that you and I just do not want to see happen. And then one of the things he wants to do is make sure that, oh, by the way, the conservative viewpoint is suppressed. How do you do that? You get into their battle space. That's why we're hearing that down in Florida, a chain of conservative Spanish-speaking stations are all being bought out by a Soros-funded organization. Huh, why would that be? Well, they were scared of the messaging. That's why you're seeing that AL.com, one of the largest online news presences in the state of Alabama, apparently has reporters on its staff funded by ProPublica. ProPublica then also being funded by George Soros. Do you see what I'm saying here? This is all in your battle space right now. These are people doing stuff that we need to know about right now. And it's not small money, y'all. And I know it's called, they often call it dark money. And I get why. And don't be mistaken, Republicans and Democrats alike love dark money. Dark money basically means it comes from an organization like a 501c4 that by law does not have to report its sources. It can say, we gave X amount of dollars to this. Doesn't say where they got the money to give it. But like, I mean, Lord, you look at some of these. Soros personally donated $170 million during the 2022 midterms to Democrat candidates and campaigns through his Open Society Policy Center. He's got far more than that to come. We're looking at right now, no telling what his influence is going to be during the 2024 election cycle as he tries desperately to make sure that conservative causes are shut down and that America's, you know, sense of liberty is suppressed. But that's happening. That's not just out there, y'all. It's not just a liberal DA out there in California or New York City or Baltimore or Chicago. No, we're talking about things happening right here in the state of Alabama. It's in your battle space, and you got to be aware, and you got to know. So when you click on the news, I mean, if you go to like 1819 News or Yellowhammer or Alabama Daily News, some of the ones that I typically trust, you can kind of rest assured that while they may have advertisers and people that might pay that differ here and there for their work, the truth is they're not being funded by George Soros. There's that. And yet AL.com, that's how their reporters get their salary sometimes, is through Soros-funded organizations. That's just messed up. And some of these organizations, wow, you look at them, you think, they don't even have a real office. There's one of them called the 1630, I believe it is. Is that what it's called, 1630? I'll find it here in a minute in my stack of notes. But the 1630 group it is has millions, hundreds of millions of dollars that it has used to influence for liberal causes all around the nation. And when a investigative reporter went to knock on their door, found the deserted office, yeah, the 1630 fund, gave away $23.9 million last year. Where'd they get their money? Well, largely from organizations much like George Soros. And then I'm just telling you, it's follow the money. Follow the money. All right, listen, we're going to take the break. We're going to come right back. Time to switch gears. Going to the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. One of the best times we have on the show every week, I think. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.